Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. For the first time ever, we have a guest that is one of our sponsors that has actually never been on our show.
That's right.
Steve Sadlin, you are from United Healthcare?
Yes.
And your title?
I am the Chief Growth Officer of Labor and Trust at UHC.
Union space?
Yes, okay. Entirely.
All right. So, Steve, real quick, like, what's your background?
I'm a math and statistics guy by nature, so I actually have a technical background. I know it's
that's really interesting. Where did you go to school?
I went to UConn. I'm a Connecticut guy.
Whoa, initially. Huskies.
Yeah.
Big East. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But I found my way into the consulting world, and essentially I've spent my entire career and really, especially the last 15 years, focused on really strategizing and working with labor and trust health funds. Right.
Okay.
So I have a benefits background broadly, so I also work with retirement plans. But really, it's the last 15 years I've been really specializing in the healthcare space.
You like it?
I love it.
And then what made you pivot over to United Healthcare?
Well, so for me, in the consulting role, I got to have a front row seat to seeing how a lot of different carriers were working with these labor and trust funds. And I was always really impressed, candidly, with what UHC was doing. I think from a standpoint of the capabilities that they have, but the innovation and some of the resources that they were putting towards, you know, what I think are pretty unique solutions that really are tailored and fit the labor world pretty well.
Yeah, well,
but honestly haven't made their way there quite yet.
Well, I'm good. I'm glad you're here because we desperately need that, right? We're getting hammered right now with cost increases. And, you know, look, you know, Ed and I both come from Local 150, the operating engineers, where we, you know, we stood up doctor's offices and we have retirement medical savings plans and we did this and did this and did this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I say we, I really mean the leaders of the union. It had nothing to do with Ed and I, but they've turned over every single rock in the world to try and save money and keep costs down. And it's just impossible.
Yeah, I know that unions all over the country are getting hit. Like individual customers, like everybody, the cost of healthcare is out of hand here. Just in this plan year and next year, it looks like it's unmanageable. Even for folks, like you said, Ken, who have tried every sort of bolt-on pre-authorization, wellness program, all these things to save a percent or a half a percent or something like that. It's just gotten really challenging.
And why is that? Like, you tell us, Steve, why has health insurance gotten so expensive?
So it's a totally fair question. And I would even tell you, if you hear anybody who says that there's really one reason why healthcare costs are so high, they're lying to you, right? It's always a multitude of factors. I would say some of the things we're seeing, obviously inflationary pressures would be the number one.
Yep.
You've also seen, and actually I'm sure a lot of the membership can relate to it, and they've seen a lot of what we're calling provider consolidation.
Yep.
So you have some of these hospital systems, right, that have bought up smaller hospital systems.
Sure.
And obviously that then puts some increased cost pressure on things. There's also, and I would say is actually it's a positive in some respects. There's been some unbelievable advancements in medicine, right? But there's a cost that goes along with it.
Oh,
so there are some incredible things that we can do now that we never could do before, but there is a price tag that goes with it. So that's another contributing factor.
Gene therapy and some of these inflammation medications and stuff.
No question
like that.
About it. It is interesting you say about the consolidation because, like, especially in Chicago, when you drive down the block and it used to be like, you know, Erie Health Clinic, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, so-and-so health clinic, and now it's Advocate Health Clinic. Like, they changed the sign on the clinic like three times in a month.
Yeah.
You know, like, wait, who owns this now?
Yeah, one of the biggest medical networks in Chicago that I'm not going to name had to purchase a bunch of hospitals in Florida and Arizona just to spend money because it made so much money it was in danger of losing its nonprofit status.
Okay, ridiculous. So for those of you listening, right, so we're here in Illinois and we have Blue Cross Blue Shield for the most part that does probably 80% of labor, right? They have a pretty good lock on the market. They're called the Blues. But they're set up differently. There's Blue Cross of Illinois, there's Blue Cross of Wisconsin. There's not one, right? UHC is different.
Yeah. So what you're talking about, Ken, is at UHC, we are one national network, right? So essentially, as you cross over different state lines, right? It doesn't matter. It's a continuous network, sort of regardless of where you live.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we've seen, you know, with some consolidation amongst funds or locals, right, as they've grown and span across different state lines, the value of having a national network has definitely been something that's more important to be given consideration.
That's a really good point, because a lot of, like, you know, like, let's use the carpenters, for example, right? They've consolidated, they've grown, they've got multi-state, they're trying to merge pensions, health insurance, you know, things, consortiums, and it's got to be a nightmare with, if you're dealing with, you know, one in one state, one in another state, two in this state, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right? So you guys have spanned the network, spanned the whole country.
Exactly.
So I'll tell you this, and so I'm really glad that you're here. You know, part of the coalition's goal, the National Coalition of Labor's goal, is to leverage economies of scale and to get labor unions to do things together. And sometimes, you know, that's really easy to do, and other times it's damn near impossible. And there's egos, there's politics, there's relationships. There's just, like you said, there's no one, there's not
sure.
one reason
sure.
that we can't do this, but we should be able to do it. And so I want to say 2-3 years ago, as we've gone around the country and traveled, right, unions have asked us for two things. One is, do you guys have your own pension/annuity retirement plan? And we said, we don't, but we can certainly help stand one up. And so we're in the process of doing that. More to come on that, but that's coming soon. Second is health insurance. So the unions that, for example, you know, that only represent like Local 420 in
Wisconsin,
they do We Energy, right? The benefits come through the employer.
Mm-hmm.
And you come down here in Chicago, Local 150, for example, we have our own health and welfare plan. And I'd say 80% of our members participate in that plan, right?
Right. I mean, you have several thousand employers, so those employers just participate in a fund. It's easier than relying on all those employers to provide
But healthcare. if you could get everybody, you know, or as many as humanly possible, to say, hey, everybody, we're going to go with UHC, and we're going to create a nationwide labor network. You have to figure that that would help us drive the price of doing business down. Am I right about that?
Or I think that's fair to say, right? Just the nature of insurance in general, right? If you
spread
out as much risk across more people, that gives you plenty of advantages from a pricing standpoint, from a negotiation standpoint, right?
So how much will it cost us? Well, did you say free for the first year? That's fantastic.
That's the deal I've heard all day.
So much.
Well, so Ken, it's funny. You're hitting on kind of a thesis, say, that I've had for a while. One of the, you know, when you talk about how complex healthcare has become, and the importance of simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think it's almost overlooked now. But I would imagine, right, with a national type plan, or if you're creating something where it could be available, right, to other funds or other groups around the country.
Yeah.
But it needs to be offered in a way that's still simple and familiar to what they maybe had before.
Right.
And I think it's neat, because what you've kind of been challenged with in those conversations and stuff that we're thinking about, for instance, at UHC, is how can we accommodate that? And we know that, you know, the national network part, we have, right?
Right.
And we know that.
Yes.
And we can offer that already. And it's been pretty neat to see where we've been given a lot of thought to how we could accommodate those things, right? As these cost pressures are truly unsustainable, and the things that they're up against, we know that we got to be more creative, and we got to be thinking about those things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And we need to do things in a way that's not going to upend what they've seen before, or maybe what they've had, but how can we do that in a way that still looks familiar, feels familiar, and it can still offer, you know, really strong benefits.
And maybe give some choice, right? Like, look, you know, I'll just say it for what it's worth. At Local 150, we have what's called a marketplace. You can take the platinum plan, the bronze plan, the gold plan, depending on your needs, whatever,
and
how many hours you work, and you save the rest of your credits, if you will, for retirement. I mean, it seems to me that, in my humble opinion, that if we could take something like that and scale it nationwide, then you could have small unions, big unions, you know, right in between unions. Like, how many labor folks do you have at UHC?
Yeah, so we serve 1 million labor members across the country.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not like you guys are not familiar with this. You already have a ton of unions in it, right?
Yeah.
And so if we could get everybody together and go, hey, everybody, you know, let's at least take a look at this.
Yeah.
That's something that, you know, obviously we've been having some discussions with you guys and are going to continue those discussions. But I think that's the name of the game. And that's why, quite frankly, that you're here today is, you know, we want to partner with somebody that understands labor, somebody that's not going to just, you know, view us as
The flea on the tail of the dog. You know?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But we don't want to be that, right, at labor. Like, yeah. If there's millions and millions of labor folks out there, plus their families, right? So you're talking about a significant amount of bodies. Is that something that UHC is interested in doing?
No question. I actually think that model is pretty forward-thinking in terms of what that could look like, right? When you're talking about introducing more choice,
yeah.
You know, that's something that hasn't manifested in other funds and stuff across the country for good reason in some instances, right? But I think offering that sort of choice and building that kind of foundational structure is probably the right place to be thinking about this, right? And that's certainly where we've been focused.
And giving unions the opportunity to provide health care to their members directly, where the members are relying on the union for health care rather than relying on the company. I mean, a model like this that's able to span state lines and offer pricing incentives really to small unions that might have much higher prices, and it would stop them from ever looking at doing something like this on their own. When you're able to get into a pool with 50 other unions and start right. up something like this, all of a sudden you're saving money and your plan's probably cheaper than whatever your employer was offering in the first place.
Yeah, you make a really good point.
Sure.
So I know there are companies out there and employers out there and municipalities, and they're buying, health insurance, whether it's through UHC or Blue Cross or whoever it is, they're buying it with 100 people, 200 people. And they're getting taken to the cleaners because they don't have the economies of scale to purchase in a big manner. If you went to these employers and said, here, do you want to get out of the insurance business? Because there's got to be – I don't think there's an employer out there that wants to be in the insurance business, right, and provide insurance and retiree coverage and all this kind of stuff. Great. We'll take it off your hands. You give us blank number of dollars per hour. We'll have a marketplace. Our guys will get to buy whatever they want. And voila, we have at least taken a step in moving the ball forward in the right direction as opposed to treading water like we're doing right now and, quite frankly, barely keeping our head above water.
And if you keep the pricing down on health and welfare or healthcare spending – it frees up, if you're getting, a 2%, 3%, 4% increase in right. your contract every year as a member, less of that money has to go toward healthcare and more can go toward check, retirement, training, whatever.
Sure.
And it frees up money to go somewhere else.
Steve, in that regard, in talking about, competition and making sure that unions are getting the best bang for their buck, what do you suggest that funds, health and welfare funds do, or unions themselves, or
trustees.
Maybe ask trustees, or even the employers, right? If I'm sitting across the table from an employer, what should I tell that employer to do?
Yeah, so you're hitting on something that I'm pretty passionate about. So I feel like historically, you were hearing that there was only one of two options, right? Costs are going up. Do you either need to cut the benefits,
right,
or do you need to put more money into the plan?
Right.
And honestly, it's possible that those might be it, but there is so much you can do before you need to get to that point. And there's a lot of new strategies and solutions that we're doing. You can operate within the plan design you have. There's mm-hmm. things you can do now. We talked about provider consolidation. What if you're able to identify specific doctors within those provider systems that are actually delivering better quality outcomes for those people, right? And you're
sure.
actually going to – that saves a lot of money. So those funds, as they're looking at it, that's a way to do it. The problem is – unless you're going to go through an exercise where you get a chance to actually see, hey, what other options are there out there? You got to be able to, on a consistent basis, go out to the market and see what else is out there.
So a market check.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We would highly encourage that.
And explain what a market check is.
Yeah. So depending on who, your medical carrier has been for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. If it's something that you haven't gone out and seen, what else is out there? Is there other competition? Doing a market check on a periodic basis where, competitors, UHC being one of them, would get an opportunity to say, hey, here's what we're doing, and it might look a little bit different in other strategies and solutions that maybe you're not thinking of now, right?
How do you deal with the members, though? It's like, I'm really comfortable with my current, carrier. I really like my doctor, et cetera. I'm really familiar with it. What do you say to that member?
Yeah. Well, so part of those exercises mm-hmm. you actually do a part of that analysis is really looking to see how are the doctors going to be remaining in those same networks, right?
Perfect.
You can do all of that. Yeah. And one of the things that we really pride ourselves on too, first of all, our network is obviously very broad, so it's almost always there's very, very minimal interruption. Most of the doctors would stay in the network.
Yep.
But there are instances when that doesn't happen. We do pretty serious outreach to those specific doctors. We identify exactly who they are and do everything we can to bring them into our network.
Yeah, so it's called disruption, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll be like, hey, Dr. So-and-so, bingo. You need to come and get in here.
Bingo.
So what do you think, Steve? Are you on board with this? You think that UHC is the right move?
I'm very confident that we're the right solution for a lot of these labor funds, and I believe that that's an approach that we're really focused on. We know there's immediate needs that we need to serve across our customers right now and our clients.
Sure.
But, you know, one of the reasons I joined UHC, candidly, was that it was more forward-thinking in terms of how we need to be positioned for the next 5 to 10 years, which lines up really well with what these labor funds are focused on. There's a long-term focus that they have that, candidly, you know, some of the rest of the market, it's a little bit more of 1, 2, or 3 years is all they're really looking ahead to.
Yes.
Right? And what we're talking about now is where the industry is going to go.
You're
and
talking,
we need to be positioned to do that.
Long game.
Exactly.
And UHC, look, listeners out there, say what you want, right, about UHC, about any other company. Doesn't really matter. UHC was the only one that, when we bantied this about 3-4 years ago, stepped to the plate and said, we're interested in doing a deal with you. We're interested in partnering with you. And so, you know, it's taken some time, right? Everything takes time.
Yep.
But much like Voya, that understood this is what the long game looks like, and we're going to take a chance with you, and they have, and have, you know, been a fantastic partner. You know, we think that UHC is going to be the same for us. So, you know, hopefully we'll have more news about this as we go forward. It's a heavy lift.
Yeah.
Right?
It is. It's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
But yeah, we really appreciate working together on this.
When is it going to happen?
It's a big aircraft carrier to turn, right?
I don't know. I mean, Steve's in charge of UHC, isn't he?
No,
that's
no,
what I heard.
Chief Growth Officer, Labor and Trust. How long have you worked for UHC?
I'm still very green. I've only come over within the last 6 months.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're familiar with it all because you've already done all this consulting work. And like you said, you're on the front lines of this, like in at Siegel, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Got a front row view of a lot of UHC and competitors and other vendors.
You know, I met Steve for the first time a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Through a good friend of ours, Holly, good friend of the show, who managed to take us to the worst bar in Chicago. I shouldn't say worst, the diviest bar in Chicago, where they serve beer in paper cups.
You're not going to tell? Can you give a name?
I forget the name of it, Old Town Pub or something like that.
Okay.
It was one of those. But anyway, so I was like,
thanks, Holly.
Yeah, thank you. Did you pick a worse place? But it was cool, and I enjoyed it because you guys sat down, and there's another Steve sitting behind him here that's not on, but it was there too. And they sat down, and it didn't matter where we were. Like, you guys weren't the people that, like, we need to go to Gibson Steakhouse and have a $300,000 meal and blah, 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 blah.
I like
blah.
Gold leaf on my steak. You know what I mean?
Cold schlager. But yeah. But then Steve handed me his business card. Both Steves did. And guess what's on that business card?
Union Bug.
Exactly right.
Absolutely.
Exactly right. So that was like reading the tea leaves. I thought that was smart. So, I mean, these are the kind of relationships that we like, that we want to have, and that we think that, you know, it's forward thinking. We simply need the, you know, we need a partner that can do this nationwide. Mm-hmm. We think you guys are it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. We're looking forward to continuing it.
Yeah, and we appreciate your sponsorship of the show. You guys do Worker Wednesdays for us, right?
Yeah.
And it's mostly 99% is Ed.
Quality health care for union members.
There you go. I love it. All right, listen, we will be back with more of the Workers' Mic. Thank you so much, Steve, for coming in. We really
appreciate
it. Yeah, yeah. We'll be back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.